With Mother's Day right around the corner, I wanted to share something truly special with y'all. Have you ever thought about turning your mom's or mother figure's life stories into a beautiful book? Well, now you can with MyLifeInABook.com. Okay, so here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com sends your mom or your loved one a question via email, and they can either type their responses or record their voice. They compile all of their answers into a stunning keepsake book, preserving their stories for eternity. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, then you know that I recently lost my great-grandma, Willie Mae, and I would have loved to have a keepsake like this to keep her life's journey alive. I recently gifted Life in a Book to my grandma, her daughter, and I can't wait to experience her life through her memories, her words about her adventures and challenges she faced through her life. Plus, Life in a Book is incredibly easy to use, so I have full confidence that my mama can navigate it on her own. Ooh, and y'all, my favorite part is that they can even create an audiobook using her voice recording, so I'm super excited about that. So this Mother's Day, or as a Just Because gift, give a special loved one the gift of their own life story. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AFFIRMATIONS at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or your loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code AFFIRMATIONS for 10% off today. Trust me, y'all, this is a gift that you all will treasure forever. Let's talk about progress. Here at AFBG, we're all about embracing progress, big or small. We celebrate those little victories because they are just as important, especially on our journey to financial well-being. Like setting aside savings each month, but still leaving room for that perfume you've been dying to have. Because here, we believe in treating ourselves, okay? And Chime is here to make that journey even smoother. My favorite feature Chime offers is Spot Me. It's fee-free overdraft up to $200. And you even get paid up to 2 days earlier with direct deposit. And let me tell y'all, it's like Christmas when that check hits early, baby. So say goodbye to those stressful overdraft experiences and hello to a financial institution that truly cares about your well-being. With Chime, you'll join millions of members working towards financial progress. Plus, there are no monthly fees or maintenance fees, and you get access to over 60,000 fee-free ATMs nationwide. Y'all, it's time to take more control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees. Open your Chime account in minutes at chime.com/affirmations. That's chime.com/affirmations. Chime feels like progress.
I'm Chrisette Michelle, and you're listening to the Affirmations for Black Girls podcast.
As I get older, relationships are becoming more interesting to navigate. The twists and turns, the highs and lows, it's like a dance, and we're all just trying to find the right rhythm. Today is special. We're slowing things down, taking a beat, and delving into the heart of connections. I've got an extraordinary guest in the house, a woman whose voice has graced the airwaves from topping the charts to now gracing us with her presence on the Affirmations for Black Girls podcast. As Black women, we're often told to keep the pace, to hustle, to grind, especially as a new year comes. But what if we shifted that narrative? What if we embraced the power of slow living, letting life unfold at its own rhythm, at our own pace? It's about opting into life, not as a sprint, but as a thoughtful and intentional journey. And speaking of journeys, our guest today has weathered storms and triumphs in the public eye. Joining us today is the one and only Chrisette Michelle, Grammy Award-winning recording artist, newly crowned TED Talk speaker, and the brilliant mind behind the brand new podcast, Comeback Sis. She's weathered the journey of a 15-year career topping the Billboard pop and R&B charts, collaborating with artists from Jay-Z to John Legend, and touring the world. She's experienced cancel culture firsthand, love, marriage, and divorce, and the stigmas that come with adult ADHD and bipolar type 2, all in the public eye. Her new podcast, Comeback Sis, is where Chrisette Michelle invites guests and friends to offer encouragement, hope, and personal methods to inner peace no matter the storm. Today, we're discussing the art of building strong connections mindfully, the magic that happens when you take a beat, and how slow living can deepen our bonds and transform our relationships. So, let's jump right on in. Hey, AFBG family. If you are listening to this podcast episode, I just wanted to let you know that we also have a video for it. So go to our YouTube channel at Affirmations for Black Girls so you can watch it live and in color. Okay, now back into the episode. What is up, everyone? You are listening to the Affirmations for Black Girls podcast, where we focus on personal growth and cultivating a healthy relationship with ourselves. I'm your host, Tyra the Creative, actress, content creator, and mental health enthusiast. And today, you guys, we have a very, very special guest. We have the one and only Chrisette Michelle. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
I am so glad that you decided to come on the podcast today. I'm super excited today because we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're going to be talking about faith, resilience, and we're going to wrap it all up in relationships, whether it's platonic relationships, romantic, familial relationships, anything relationships. But before we dive all the way in, I want to start with an icebreaker. So I've seen a lot of your interviews and you do a lot of word associations, but today we're going to do color association. So it's basically the same thing, but we're each going to throw out a color and the other person is going to say the first word that comes to their mind. Are you ready?
I love it.
Okay, so I'll go first. Purple.
Childhood.
Ooh, I love that. Okay, you give me one.
Ivory.
Sunday morning. Right. Okay.
Especially on Communion Sunday.
Right. Especially on Communion Sunday. Yes. Yellow.
My father.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Magenta.
Okay. Maggie and the Ferocious Beast. Let me give you a little backstory. That's a show. Okay.
Of course.
Okay, yes, I absolutely love that show. The color of his spots reminds me of that.
That's the fun stuff, literally. So did you see the Sword and the Stone? Do you remember the witch from the Sword and the Stone?
Yes.
The big scary spots? Yes. Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. Okay.
Royal blue. Oh, wait, it's your turn.
But I'll do royal blue. My high school. That was one of our colors. Yeah. Okay. Gold.
Boring.
Give me a little context on that. Why? Why do you say that?
I hate when regality is always associated with money.
Yeah.
And so it's like, as soon as we think of gold, sometimes we have to start this conversation about who should have it and who shouldn't. So it immediately went into activist mode when I hear the word gold.
Okay.
That's terrible, right?
But I feel you, but I really feel you. I really do. I'm loving where we're going with these colors, you know? I absolutely love it. Okay. Give me one more and then I'm gonna give you one more and then we can move on. This is fun. I like this kind of stuff.
Swarovski.
Ice. That's the first thing that really comes to mind, like an ice cave, like in, you know, like the beautiful ice caves. That's what comes to my mind when I think about I can't even pronounce it properly. Swarovski.
It's my third favorite.
Oh my gosh. Wow. So what's the first two? Have you been saying your favorite colors?
Pink, purple, and Swarovski are my three favorite colors.
Okay. Pink, yeah. Purple. My favorite colors. See, my favorite color growing up was yellow, but all I wear these days is green. As you can see, my background is green. Green has become, like, I guess, my adoptive favorite color just because I like to, like, be around it. And I would also say brown. I love a brown. Mm-hmm.
I love it. That's my wardrobe, too.
Yeah.
Neutrals and some neutral greens.
Because we look good in it. Like, you literally can't go wrong.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay, one last color for you, periwinkle.
My first Birkin bag.
Oh, my. Yes. I bet it is beautiful.
It looks so pretty. I loved
Ooh.
It.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so do you still have it or you don't have it anymore?
Nope, I let it go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was so fun. Thank you so much for playing color association with me.
I love that. I love anything like where something has to remind you of something else because it kind of lets you know what's on your mind.
Yeah.
Like, what do I need to deal with? So yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, because you literally never know what's going to come to the surface whenever you're just thinking of a word and literally saying the first thing. So mm-hmm. I had fun. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so when I have a guest on the podcast, I always let them lead us in our affirmation. So I am going to throw it over to you so you can lead us in our affirmation of the week.
This week's affirmation is, everything unfolds as it should in God's perfect timing.
Amen.
Everything unfolds as it should in God's perfect timing. Everything unfolds as it should in God's perfect timing. Everything unfolds as it should in God's perfect timing. Everything unfolds as it should in God's perfect timing. In God's perfect timing. Everything unfolds as it should in God's perfect timing.
I love that affirmation, especially this year. So this month specifically on the podcast, we've been talking about taking a beat. And I think this affirmation is so powerful with that sentiment because as long as you know that God always got you, it's easier for you to relax. It's easier to cast your worries on him. It's easier for you to just sit and watch things happen and truly live in the moment. So I love the affirmation. And I was like, your voice is perfect for the affirmation. So I was really, really getting into it.
Yeah, the word in, like you said, kind mm-hmm. of sticks out because mm-hmm. it's not your timing. And if you're in God's perfection of timing, then you don't even have a choice but to trust him. It's so good.
Yes, it's honestly so, 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 so good. Tell us a little bit about who you are, your background, you know, what you're working on, what things you have coming out soon. What is going on with Chrisette Michelle these days?
Sure. I always joke and say I'd have to be here for 15 years to answer you.
Okay.
So in a long story, incredibly short, my name's Chrisette Michelle. I'm a Grammy Award winning recording artist who's toured all over the world and sang with everybody from Jay-Z to John Legend. And now I'm in my comeback era. I've been through lots of fun things in the industry, but some of them were topsy-turvy. And one of those things kept me afraid to speak for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. So at this particular moment in my career and in this juncture of my career, I'm opening up my mouth, maybe for the first time. People have heard me sing. People have heard me around music, but they haven't heard me say words. Mm-hmm. So I just did my very first TED Talk. And that is the beginnings of this next era, if you will, of my life. And I'm calling it my comeback sis era. So I'm releasing a podcast. You can go to comebacksis.com. And that's where you'll find everything comeback sis related. I'm super excited about it. And I think your audience is the first to find out.
Oh, yes. I'm super excited as well. I actually listened to a little bit of your TED Talk and it was so poetic. It was so powerful. And I'm glad that you took that time to do something like that and actually share your voice and speak on the matter that you're referring to in the way that it should have been spoken on. So it was amazing to listen to the bits that I did listen to. And mm-hmm. I cannot wait to listen to your podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited. The guests are ridiculous. Their stories are ridiculous. And what the truth is I'm hoping that I'm the hand that holds the person who's going through something, wishing they had someone to hold them. I know in my darkest hours of my life, I'd be like, where's my home girl at? I have my mom and my dad and my brothers and the church and my therapy and my yoga. But I think we sometimes just need that girlfriend to be like, come back, sis. You got this.
And I love that you say that because, yes, my audience, this is literally for my audience. So you guys definitely go check out Come Back Sis, because when I started this podcast, it was because I wanted to create a space for little girls like me or young girls like me who were going through things that I was going through. And I did not feel like there was space for me to share, to emote. I didn't feel comfortable sharing with my mom, my dad, my friends at home, because I didn't really feel like they understood or they could give me exactly what I needed in that moment. So I'm so glad that you said that. Yes, it is definitely going to resonate with my audience.
Thank you. I can't wait to share.
So the first episode goes live. Well, you guys, when you're listening to this episode, if you're listening on the day that it goes live, Chrisette's podcast does air today, Monday, January 29th at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Yes. Yeah. And where can they listen?
So go to comebacksis.com. You can just click the link when you get there. Make sure you join the newsletter. Our first guest is Real Talk Kim. And if you don't know who Real Talk Kim is, the moment you meet her, you're going to love her. She's a preacher. I said preacher, who has been married 4 times, who loves the Lord like a crazy person. And her claim, or the thing that she says that makes me crack up the most, is, "Girl, I don't know why Jesus loves me. I was on my way to hell in a slip and slide." So she is just a mess and a miracle all at the same time. One of my favorite humans. So make sure you check it out tonight at 7 p.m.
I absolutely love that. I'm definitely checking it out. Everybody who's listening, y'all better check it out. Okay. So like we've been talking about, like at this month, we're focusing on taking a beat, slow living, rolling into the new year slowly, not feeling like you have to live up to the new year, new me hype of go, 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 have everything figured out. Can you think of a time in your life when you have applied this concept, maybe in your personal life or professional life or even in your health?
Yeah. So go, go, go just doesn't work for me. Planning 59 months in advance doesn't work for me. And that's because I'm prone to worry. What works better for me personally is being present in the moment and then seeing where that moment takes me. Being curious in the moment and not curious so much about the future. I know that sounds counterproductive, but when you can be present in the moment and hear what the moment is saying, if you stay there long enough, you'll be at the next moment already and it'll be a surprise. But if you're thinking about the next moment, then you don't get to have fun with the surprise and you never sat in the last one. So for me personally, being in the moment works better than planning too far ahead. Now there's two sides to that. And so a part of that for me is about sitting in your feminine energy. And then we talk sometimes about what it means to plan ahead and have vision and see what's next. And that's your visionary energy. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there's got to be some balance, because if you spend all your time in your visionary energy and you never get creative, truth is, you're not going to have any fun. Mm-hmm. You're always going to be going and going and going. So have some fun, stay curious right now, and you'll get to the next part by default.
Yeah. I love that. I love how you said if you're waiting on the next moment, you're never really sitting in this moment, because I'm prone to worry too. I'm literally just starting to get out of a season of worry. And I think it's because I'm getting older. I'm 29 years old, but like this time in my life, like I've just noticed that I've become very worrisome about the future and where I am in life and what's going on. So being present has been at the forefront of my mind. And the best way that I have been able to implement presence in my life is meditation, making sure that I am not planning those 59 months in advance, sometimes taking it day by day. Sometimes I don't even have nothing planned for the day, just to get myself in the mode of, okay, we don't have to worry about tomorrow because it's not here yet. And yesterday was yesterday's problem. Like we only need to worry about today because we will not be truly living. So I'm so glad that you said that. I love that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Thank you.
So in your career or personal life, whichever one you want to speak on, Have you ever faced any challenges that caused you to take a step back and reevaluate the way you like to handle things?
Oh my God, that's like the story of my life. Yeah, I mean, you eat a piece of chicken and it messes with your stomach the wrong way. You don't do it again.
Okay.
But that's the story of my life, is stopping and reevaluating. The exciting thing about stopping and reevaluating, or the frustrating thing, is you don't know how long the stop is going to be. Mm-hmm. So when you first stop, for instance, if you ate that crazy piece of chicken and your stomach hurts, you don't know how long until your stomach's going to feel better. But the stop starts at discomfort. Mm-hmm. The stop begins when it's not fun. Ooh, and a lot of times people keep going past that stop. But my whole thing is, like, if it's not right, stop now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to defend. You don't have to affirm yourself in that moment. Stop. And I think we don't stop enough. Mm-hmm. And I think we don't stop because we don't know how long the stop is going to be. And we're so far ahead into the future already. And we're afraid that if we stop right now, we'll never get to where we're going. So do you want to get to where you're going sick? Do you want to get to where you're going broken? Do you want to get to where you're going unhealed? Because you'll arrive there at some point, but I'd rather arrive healthy. So that stopping part is a big deal. I have to stop in public and I have to stop in private. One of the biggest stops I had to make was after my divorce. I had filed for a divorce. And I had a yoga studio that I loved, and I had a store, a boutique that I loved. I had a Range Rover that I loved, and I had friends in a neighborhood that I loved. And in that stopping, I had to decide which one of those things I would get to keep and which one of those things I would have to leave behind. That happens in most stops, right? Is what stays and what goes. Mm-hmm. A lot of stops are drop-off points where you're dropping things off. And so I had to drop off almost everything I had, and I had to move to a different place before I was even furnished or fully decorated or had a wardrobe.
Yeah,
I had to move unprepared. I just knew that moving on was the right thing to do for my health. So that stop took about 3 years. And I'll tell you, when the stop was finished and all of the weight from the reason I stopped was lifted, it was like a rebirth. And so I didn't know how long that stop was going to last. I didn't know how long that divorce season was going to take. It took 3 years. And when it was done, I felt reborn. So I encourage stopping by all means. Even when you want to go somewhere, the best idea is to stop. And the things that showed up for me at the end of the stop were some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, including a new me.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I really love that. That you said that for me, when I like to call it a pause in my brain, that just makes more sense for me. But when I've had to stop or take a pause, like a long pause, I tend to feel guilty for that pause. So what could you say to that, to people who are in the process of a stop or a pause, but they're feeling guilty about being stopped or paused for that long?
Yeah, I think the guilt usually has to do with what you have to drop off.
Yeah.
And tell me if that resonates. But sometimes the guilt is, who am I going to have to say no to right now?
Yeah.
Who am I going to have to release? Who am I going to have to disappoint? That guilt trip at the stop, which is ironic. Isn't that funny? It's an oxymoron. It's a guilt trip, but you have to stop.
Right, right.
And you have to disappoint a couple of people. And you have to say no. You have to memorize or recreate your boundaries. There's a lot of guilt in boundary creation. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of guilt in rebuilding your value system and affirming your new value system. You're being made over in the stop. And so you're afraid that when you come out, nobody will know who you were. There's just all of this fear and guilt for becoming better. Becoming better is a guilt trip. And it's because you don't know what people are going to think when you come out, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the advice there is sit in that discomfort, because even if you're seated in the discomfort, you're still stopped and you're still doing the work. So the work really is the easiest part. The stop is the most uncomfortable part because it's not comfortable. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's it's bringing up that guilt. I'll say it like this. Feelings and work aren't the same thing. Feelings are more difficult than the actual work.
Yep.
Right? If your mother says clean your room, the idea of cleaning your room is more difficult than actually cleaning it. So I think the sitting in it is not necessarily about the work that we have to do while we're sitting in it. It's about that uncomfortable, guilty feeling. Both can happen at the same time. The discomfort of the mind and the work, those can happen at the same time. You can become better while feeling guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And I hope that helps somebody.
Yeah, right. And to piggyback off of that, I've been in a few seasons in my short life where I have had to stop, where there is so I went to culinary school. I'm a pastry chef. I stopped for 5 years and I felt guilty all throughout that because it's like, oh, my mom paid for me to go to this school. You know, I have a bachelor's degree. That was a full ride. I chose to accumulate so much debt and go to culinary school. And then I had to stop because I was so burnt out. But the one thing that I've learned from that situation and other experiences where I have had to stop for long periods of time is that that discomfort, it builds you, but it also gets easier to recognize exactly what it is. And it makes it easier for you to sit in that and learn from that and grow from that. That's what I can say. Like, there's always going to be uncomfortable situations. We're always going to experience discomfort. Yeah, that's because we're growing in some way. And I think it's a beautiful process and it can be very uncomfortable throughout it, but it does get easier no matter how many times you have to go through an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, I think there's this mistake that people make when they call bad things a growing process. Guilt doesn't help you grow. Guilt is just guilt.
Yeah.
Haters don't help you be motivated. Motivation and haters don't have to be, you know, they don't have to coexist, but haters just exist.
Yeah.
So the good stuff exists right next to the bad stuff. Mm-hmm. The bad stuff doesn't help you grow. It's just called suffering well. You suffer and you still do well at the same time. So it's just life. It's discomfort.
I like that. I like that a lot. I'm learning, and you know, like especially being where I am in my life, I just try to find things that help me keep going because I recently went through a season. This is not even like what we were supposed to be talking about, but we letting this conversation flow. I recently went through a season. So I'm from Louisiana. I live in LA. I've been here for 6 years. I'm an actress. I've only had one show. The show got canceled, and now I'm here on my podcast, which is great. Thank you, God. But it obviously wasn't my plan. And recently, I would say about, what was that? Maybe like 5 months ago, I went through a very uncomfortable time where I truly just wanted to like give up. I never really go through situations that I have a lot of mental fortitude. You know, and I've recently been going through more situations that have been eating at that mental toughness that I do have. And the negativity is starting to become a little louder. So I'm trying to like work on different ways to process, get through, deal with whatever when I am at those stops that we're talking about. And recently I had one and I was just like, I just want to hide. I just want to hide. I just want to give up. I just want to go. I just want to run. And I'm trying to figure out in life, how do you get through those types of things, especially because in the grand scheme of things, I'm so young. I hear that all the time. I'm so young. I don't feel so young, you know, but I, in the grand scheme of life, I am so young. And I put a lot of pressure on myself to perform, to check all the boxes, to get from point A to point B in a, you know, short amount of time or the amount of time that everybody else got from point A to point B from where I'm sitting, you know? And I think a lot of this, it just honestly has to do with, I don't know, mindset. And I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean? Like that's where I've been at.
Yeah. It sounds like you're doing a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The work.
And it sounds like that Psalms 91 space where you can literally hide in the secret place and live under the shadow of the Almighty, you can literally hide. You have permission to hide. You said you want to hide. You have permission to.
Yeah.
It's actually a instruction, right? And that hiding gives you access to life, gives you access to abiding underneath a shadow, which means that somebody is in front of you, mm-hmm. of the Almighty. I think fear is, in this case, is it okay to hide? And the world tells us it's not okay to hide.
Right.
It calls it being a coward. It calls it being a punk. It calls it being afraid. No, you don't have the spirit of fear, but you can hide. Mm-hmm. There's a place for that. And the Bible gives us that place, and it's very clear. So there's this lie or this trick that says, no, you have to stay out here and bear it in front of everybody. And the Bible doesn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Bible doesn't say that. So it sounds like you're up against society's idea of what it means to be yeah. strong. And that's not fair to your spiritual fortitude, which is your mental fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
Does that resonate?
Yeah, it does. And I'm glad that you said that, because literally our last podcast episode was about that, redefining what societal norms are, like getting rid of all of that. So I do think that, and especially in this digital age, everyone wants to be vulnerable on social media. And if they're not seeing you cry and all this stuff, you're not going through nothing. And I think it's starting to subconsciously seep in that is what I should be doing. And it's something that I'm working on, learning and growing every day.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah. I'm about to scream. Growing up, Black voices in media, though hard to come by, were my compass. Here at AFBG, Black representation is the very heartbeat of what we do. Representation isn't just about visibility. It's about carving out a space where Black stories can thrive and resonate. From pioneers like Oprah Winfrey breaking barriers on TV to amazing women like Viola Davis, Octavia Spencer, and Taraji P. Henson, who showed me that Black girls can command the screen. These Black faces and voices have been a guiding light in my life, not only by entertaining me, but also educating me and empowering me. And now, NPR brings you the next generation of influential Black voices in their new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, each told from a unique Black perspective that is as nuanced as the Black experience itself. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I recently listened to the episode titled For Black Men, Barriers to Mental Health Care Can Be Complex, and I love how the hosts seem to create a safe space for discussing these complex barriers Black men face when accessing mental health care. It was very refreshing to hear the classic NPR vibe, but with a soulful twist. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in America's story, but now they are the story. Because stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. If you're going through menopause, perimenopause, or you just can't seem to find comfort in your body anymore, then it's time to try Hormone Harmony. Created by Happy Mammoth, this science-backed solution has become a phenomenon. With adaptogens to help your body adapt to hormonal changes, Hormone Harmony tackles hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts, low moods, poor sleep, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean, and other things. Plus, with over 17,000 reviews mentioning feeling like myself again, it's a game changer. Get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com with code AFFIRMATIONS. Don't let menopause or hormonal changes hold you back. Try Hormone Harmony today. Fun fact about me, I'm not a big drinker,
And the older I get, the more I look for new ways to relax. If you're like me, consider Recess Mood, a healthier alternative to alcohol. Y'all already know self-care is essential here, and we are being more intentional with the things we put into our bodies. Recess Mood is a magnesium and adaptogen-infused sparkling water with real fruit goodness, only 20 calories and no added sugar. It enhances your mood and helps balance stress for that calm, cool, and collected feeling. And don't even get me started on the flavors, y'all. Strawberry rose, raspberry lemon, grapefruit tangerine. They are all very good, but right now the raspberry lemon is my absolute fave. So you deserve a healthier way to unwind, and Recess Mood is offering you 15% off. So head to takearecess.com/affirmations and treat yourself to a more relaxed, guilt-free you. And you can also find the link down in the show notes below.
I love this. I love this so much.
My first question for you is, we always talk about the things that we leave in the year that just ended, but what relationships are you bringing into 2024 with you, and how are you moving at your own pace in that arena of relationships?
Yeah, you know, I just did a live about this on Instagram, which, by the way, I can't leave that hanging. You said we can have relationships with everything in every way. Have to forgive me. I think that's a boundary issue.
Oh, get me right. Talk about it.
I don't mean to, but I was watching something yesterday on YouTube, and I saw somebody who had felt really heavy. Mm-hmm. And she began to name the things that she had a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about her relationship with her garden.
With her garden?
You hear what I'm saying?
Okay.
There's this idea that every single thing counts, and I need to pay attention to every detail. And so we want to have a relationship with every single thing, every single person, every single outfit, every single weave, every single everything. And then we don't have a relationship with anything. Mm-hmm. Everything is not worth a relationship with. And it gets so dangerous when we overexert ourselves and try and figure out how to identify with everyone and everything in a same way. So I just had to, I couldn't leave that there.
No, thank you. Yeah,
but
yeah.
The question
and don't
was,
apologize.
So the question was about what I'm bringing with me as opposed to what I'm leaving. And I did it a live on my Instagram about ghosting maybe 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah.
And mm-hmm. I'm so tired of people ghosting each other.
Yeah.
It's like, this person did something wrong. Because I don't know how to address confrontation or whatever it is, I'm going to leave that person in the past. When we're talking about like this truly unconditional love, we don't really get to do that. Like, you don't get to just be like, I'm leaving you behind.
Yeah.
You may not have access to every part of me and every single thing about me, but I don't get to just wash my hands and be done with you. Mm-hmm. So that gets judgy. I think the relationship with the self is imperative. And I think that if we know what we need from ourselves, then whatever's left, we can hand out to the other relationships. You know, you can't overexert into the wrong people. But I think the question a lot of times is, how arrogant of us to decide that a person is a wrong person?
Yeah.
Do you know, like, how do we qualify if someone is enough? I don't feel comfortable with that idea. I think that we're in this world together and we do life together. That's the most exhausting part of life, but it's the point of it. We're not here for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, that's not why we were sent here. Go down to the earth and be all by yourself. I don't think that was the mission.
Yeah, that's
So that's a hard question for me to answer. What's your answer to that question out of curiosity?
So the biggest relationship that I am excited to bring into 2024 is my relationship with God. Now, I've always been a Christian, and I grew up in the South, the Deep South, Bible Belt. But since I've moved to LA, I have been able to redefine my relationship with God, because a lot of it was instilled in fear in the South. And I'm unlearning that portion of it and actually finding joy in my relationship with God. So I am excited to deepen my relationship with him and really explore that area of my life. So that's the relationship for me.
I love that. That makes sense. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. And to your point about like the boundary issues and things, I'm actually reading this book. Where is it? It's right here. Set Boundaries, Find Peace, because boundaries are super hard for me. Yeah. Yeah. Super hard for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm reading her book. I'm not going to pronounce her name incorrectly, but she also has a workbook that goes along with it. So I'm doing the workbook and her actual book. And I'm excited to just unlearn a lot of things that I have, you know, picked up along the way that no longer serve me, you know.
Yeah. Is she Black?
Yes. Let me see. Nedra, hold on.
I think I've read it. And she,
you think you read it?
She brings it from a Black perspective, right? Like a Black woman. Yeah, it's much different than, no offense, but to the book Boundaries.
Yeah, let me get it real quick.
Okay.
Yeah, my headphones are attached to my mic, so I wouldn't have been able to hear you if I just walked up.
All good.
Nedra Tawab?
Yes, I have that book on my bookshelf. It's so good. You could tell me if I'm wrong. There's another one called All Black Girls Are Activists that kind of,
ooh, like, I haven't heard of that one.
Activism on its head based on you being a Black girl. And it's crazy that we have to write those books.
Yeah.
Her book is so genius to me because who else is taking it from the life that we are living as Black women? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I love that book. I think that's such a good choice.
Yeah, I'm so excited to finish it. That's why it's right here by my bed. I'm in my room, so it's right by my bed. And what was say the name of the book you just said again? All Black Girls Are Activists?
All Black Girls Are Activists. Yeah.
Write that down.
It is a loaded book from page number one. It talks about feminism. Then it looks at feminism from the young Black woman's perspective, and then it looks at our generation of feminism. Don't read it from, or I can't tell you what to do, but I wouldn't read it from a spiritual perspective as much as I would read it from a cultural perspective.
Gotcha.
And then see what I'm responsible for spiritually.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Because I'm trying to start reading more, so I'm excited.
Fun.
Okay. So my next question is, what is most important to you in relationship?
Okay, this word relationship is really difficult because we're not being specific.
Let's say platonic relationships. Let's say friends.
I'm very reserved. So respecting how long it takes me to let you go from point A to point B is really important to me. Mm-hmm. It takes me a long time to learn people. And so if you can't respect that it's going to take me a while to understand you, then it's going to be a short-term relationship because I'm not just going to allow you all the way into my personal experience without me knowing why you're here. Defining relationships is almost paramount to me. And so if you walk into my life and tell me what the relationship is before I can understand who and what you actually are, for me, that's a red flag, whether it's a man, woman, boy, girl, dog, or cat.
Yeah.
It's knowing the boundaries, being okay with me, being reserved, and giving me time to get to know you. Like, that's paramount to me.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I would say, to like piggyback off of that, the thing that's most important to me is effective communication. Especially at the age I'm at, let's take the ghosting thing. I've dealt with a lot of friends who would rather just fall back than say, hey, what you did said hurt me, or whatever the case may be. And now that I'm getting a little older, it's like, let's talk about it, because I'm not really, you know, trying to have 1,000 best friends. I just want one. And lately in my life, in relationships, platonic relationships specifically, there has been a strain in that area of communication. So as of late, that's become most important to me.
Yeah, I hear you fully.
Yeah.
Me and a couple of my girlfriends have packs where it's like, where do we go when we have a disagreement? And like, it might be a particular restaurant or a particular, you know, picnic area that we choose. Because if I invite you to, let's say it's the Cheesecake Factory, if I say we need a Cheesecake Factory moment, you already know, get your pen and pad out and come with your accountability pencil, because we got some things to fix. Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. Yeah.
Yeah, I need to implement that, have a space. I think it's just, honestly, that's something that I would love to implement. But like, from like me, all of my friends live everywhere. I'm like the only person who lives in Los Angeles. So it gets a little hard, you know?
Yeah, sometimes because I'm always on the road, like even now I'm on the road, I'm not home. Mm-hmm. But sometimes because I'm on the road, we'll say, let's do a Zoom date or let's do a Facebook date. And we'll order, if I'm in a hotel, I'll order room service. I'll put on a dress, just maybe not stilettos. I'll get ready. And just because I love you so much, let's have a moment together, even if it's on Zoom. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of like relationship stuff is about putting a little bit of effort in so the other person knows you care.
Yeah.
Even if you're not right there. Yeah.
I love that. Oh, I love that. I'm learning so much. Next question. Do you know your attachment style? And if you do, how does it affect how you navigate relationships?
That's so hard. Okay, so originally I dealt with anxious attachment. I had to go to a lot of therapy for that. My fear of rejection was second to none, like top tier. And the idea was that you're going to not like me. You're going to think I'm too different to be friends with or to love. So my attachment style was anxious. Being canceled gave me some time to realize that if people don't like you, you don't die. Mm-hmm. That was the first time where I found out you don't die when you're rejected. But everyone's biggest innate fear is death. And so my thing was, oh my God, I'm still here. And that was the first time where I really inspected, Chrissy, why does it matter so much if everyone likes you or not? And I couldn't blame it on the music business and, oh, they didn't like my song. And I couldn't blame it on something that happened in college. Oh, he didn't want to go on a date. I had to go way back in my childhood and pick up one incident that happened when I was a very, very little girl and realize, oh my goodness, I'm afraid that's going to happen again. And when I realized that now at my age, I'm able to protect myself that I don't have to be afraid anymore, I was able to walk into the next steps of my life without that anxiety of neediness and needing to be attached.
This is feeding my soul so much because I have a very anxious attachment style, and it stems from my childhood. I mean, our attachment styles all stem from our childhood, but I'm just like, literally, I'm just so glad that you said that, because that just, it just filled me with a, like, just a sense of, you know, joy. Like, okay, Tyra, keep doing this thing, keep working on this thing, you know? Cause yes. When I started therapy, it was because I started to realize that my fear of rejection was so strong, and it was leaking over into relationships that it did not have to be in. My parents got a divorce when I was in ninth grade. I grew up in a very small town. Everybody knew what was going on, and it was just so hard. The town, it's 4,000 people in our town. People, we know everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. So... oh, that's, thank you. Thank you. Like, I have no words other than thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And I'm working on it too. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I love this so much.
Okay. You'll get through it. A therapy that was really fun was you put out 3 or 4 chairs, and each chair has a different era in your life. So maybe chair number 1 is ages 0 to 5. Chair number 2 is 5 to 15. Chair number 3 is 15 to 21. And chair number 4 might be 21 to 30, right? Mm-hmm. And you ask yourself a question. Who do I love might be the question. and you sit in any chair and you choose any era of your life. As you continue to ask questions, you realize that each version of you answers questions differently. And when you start to get to know yourself era-based, as opposed to just who I am right now, you begin to realize that you can choose the best parts of yourself and then work the hardest on those. That type of therapy was really eye-opening for me. For instance, if I was dating a man who hurt me, I could say, well, how do you feel about that having happened to you? And I sit in the three-year-old's chair and she answers. And she might say, well, it reminds me of the time that this happened to me. What does a three-year-old say to that? What does the three-year-old version of you say to that? So it really helps you realize how you make decisions, from what place you make decisions, and then what better decisions you can make in the future as the best version of yourself.
I absolutely love that. Oh, wow. I was just talking about how, like, we are all of those people in one. I am three-year-old Tyra. I am five-year-old Tyra, 10-year-old Tyra. And depending on the situation, we will innately respond as 10-year-old Tyra, 15, if it triggers that version of us. So I love that. And I think when I journal tonight, I'm journaling about that. I'm about to do that because that's so powerful. It's so powerful.
Have fun.
I will. These days I have been loving journaling, and I just, you know, it's just a season of learning and truly exploring every facet of Tyra, you know, and it's honestly been a very rewarding process.
Amen. I love it. I love that for you. I love that for us.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. Do you have any tips for dating mindfully? What do you have to say to those who are in an urge to rush when it comes to dating?
Walk into his space with an open mind. Walk into his space as a creative. Walk into his space curious. When he watches you, know that he's wondering what he's looking at, and don't be offended by that, and don't be defensive about that. Allow him to wonder what he's looking at. There's an element of curiosity that lives in the beginnings of a relationship, and a man is curious one way and a woman is curious another way. She's looking at his environment and she's seeing how to be creative with it. And he's looking at her. Try and match. So give yourself permission to just sit in his presence and be seen, be watched, and become understood without defense or offense. Just kind of rest in his presence and let him see you at rest. And that's how he'll get to know you. That's my advice for mindful new relationships with partners.
I love that, because that can be so hard to do, to really just sit. So I think that can really be a challenge for us out there in this dating landscape, especially in this day and age of instant gratification and just wanting to know what is and what it ain't ASAP, you know? So I love that.
I love that response. That's so exactly the point. That's exactly what I meant.
Right?
It's like, sir, you're not going to know. So just sit down.
Yeah.
Just don't know for a second. Be fascinated. Mm-hmm. Like, allow yourself to just be, oh my goodness, I love whatever that thing is. He has two trees, oak trees in his backyard. Like, if that fascinates you, be fascinated by it. I think we're so worried about what that I'm looking at gets to be mine, that we don't just get to be fascinated by what we're looking at. I wonder if I'm going to get to live in that house. I wonder if I'm going to get to drive in that car. I wonder if I'm going to get to do things in his environment. And it's like, just be fascinated by it for now and then see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm single, so I've started to live in that and just let it be. And it's so freeing. Once you actually let it happen, let it happen, it's like, okay, I actually really like it here, you know, because there's no worry. There's no, okay, well, it's been 2 months and he ain't said or did this. None of that even matters. You're truly falling in love with the process. You're getting to know this person. You're learning stuff about yourself. It's not just about learning about the other person. You're learning about who you are in relationship and what you expect and what you want out of love in general. So I think dating mindfully is in 2024, that's all we're doing.
Yeah. Relax. We are so like exhausted and panicked and burnt out. Like, sit down. Sit
Girl,
down.
sit down. I love that. I love that.
Life isn't a sprint. It's a thoughtful and intentional journey. But as we discuss the twists and turns of relationships today, I couldn't help but think about life in a different rhythm, a slower beat that resonates with intention and grace. One that has moments where we have to stop, take inventory, and learn to move or not move through discomfort. Chrisette said something today that really resonated with me. She said, we don't stop enough. And we do that because we don't know how long the stop is going to be. But during one of her longer stops, at the end of it, she was able to uncover some of the most beautiful things she'd ever seen, including a new her. It struck me how we often fear the pauses in our lives, the moments of stillness that invite us to confront the raw, unfiltered truths. Yet it's in those quiet moments, those beats of reflection, that we find not only our resilience, but the richness of our own evolution. Whether in the slow unfolding of romantic bonds, the deepening of platonic friendships, or the mindful approach to dating that Chrisette and I spoke of, the essence lies in the pauses, the stops. In these beats, we learn not just about others, but about ourselves. We discover the cadence of our hearts, the intricacies of our desires, and the beauty of embracing each other's journey.
Uh-oh, you guys, you know what time it is. It is time for our fun closing segment. And today, Chrisette and I are going to play a very fun game. It is called Watching, Reading, Eating, and Wanting. And we're just going to share some things that we're watching, reading, eating, and wanting, and recommend them to you guys. So, Chrisette, what are you watching right now?
I'm always watching van life videos, but there's a lot of Black girls living in vans right now. So it's really fun to watch how we decorate our vans. Yeah.
I love that. I forgot the girl's name. Jen. Is her name Jen, the Black girl? She just bought a house, but she was living in a van. And over COVID, her channel absolutely blew up. She was living in a van with her pet snake. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, of course. Yeah, she's huge.
Yes.
She's so cute. I love her.
Yes, well, her and she house bought a house.
Is almost like a van because it's like bare bones. I think it's like, what is it called? Not a hut, but I don't know what that kind of house is called.
I don't know either.
She's so cool.
She is cool. What am I watching? I have been watching a lot of docuseries on Netflix. I just finished watching Our National Parks, Our Great National Parks on Netflix. It's narrated by Barack Obama. Absolutely love. Anything nature always has me in a chokehold.
You know what? I got to stop you because it's so unfair. I was on a show yesterday and they were like, what's your favorite first date? And I was like, please take me hiking.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? And I was like, y'all don't know Black girls like to go outside. And they were so flabbergasted. So I'm so glad you said that. Thank you.
Yes, of course. And you know what? To even piggyback off of that, I would rather a hike. Let's do a fun activity. We can go bowling, pottery, something. Take me to do something where we are actually, we have a task at hand and we're either working together or we're, you know, we are doing something physical. So, because everybody want to take you out to eat and it's like this formal thing. And you know what I mean? First of all, I'm gonna be nervous. So I need to be doing something with my hands on this first date. But a hike, yes. Yes.
Yeah. There's this thing called sexual energy that we act like doesn't exist, mm-hmm. but energy is energy. And so if we climb a mountain, then I won't be so horny at the end of the day. Like, let's do something that exerts
can we talk
all
about
of
it?
Energy, and then I can remain abstinent.
Yes. Exactly. Okay. That's important. That's why I work out 6 days a week. Okay. So
I'm a horny.
That is you speaking truth, okay? Nothing but the truth. Okay, we kind of touched on this, but what are you reading right now?
You know, not to be a cornball, I'm always in my word. Mm-hmm. It's probably annoying to most of my friends. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to think of the last book that I just finished reading. Oh. This book is silly, but it's fun. The Bookshop of Second Chances.
Ooh.
Just another one I want to show you. When Life Gives You Lululemons.
Ooh.
And then I'm rereading Uninvited by Lisa Turkhurst, which I had recommended to a bunch of my sisters back in the day because of this uninvited rejection culture we live in. Mm-hmm. So uninvitedism. Too. Lots of fun stuff.
Here's the thing. I don't know none of them books that you just mentioned, but I'm trying to get into reading a lot more because I love to read whenever, but I've only enjoyed reading when a book was given to me. Does that make sense? I don't really go out and find the books, but if somebody says, Tyra, you gotta read this book, and I read it, I'm like, oh my God, I love that. It's so
good. What kind of
books
do you find yourself liking the most?
So my favorite book is The Count of Monte Cristo. I read that in high school, but it's so good. It's full of drama. It's full of adventure. It's full of everything. Big old book. I love anything. I want to read more fiction. So adventure, drama, love, that sort of thing.
Yeah, nobody reads enough. We don't talk about fiction enough. Mm-hmm. Talk about all the serious stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm totally with you on that.
And preferably something by like a Black woman author. That would
be great. I know. That's the one I'm trying to find. All right. If I find it before the end, I'll show it to you.
Okay. Perfect. As far as what I'm reading, well, we already said I am reading Set Boundaries, Find Peace. Mm-hmm. And I love it so far. Other than I want to.
Yeah. It sounds like you're enjoying it.
I am. I'm like almost. I'm halfway through with it now. But to your point, I have so many books on Audible, but I also have like 12 credits because I don't read fast enough to use a credit every month, but I have a bunch mm-hmm. of books on Audible as well because I love a good audiobook.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Here it is.
Oh, what is it?
The Vanishing Half. The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. Now, it is not a Christian novel.
That's totally fine.
But it is ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I read it or should I listen to the audiobook?
Either way.
Okay.
And sometimes you do have to do both because mm-hmm. this book is so freaking good. Should I tell you what it's about?
Don't tell me the
moment. You, it's a good book because of where you're from.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's got a little bit about colorism in there. Mm-hmm. Basically two sisters that are different shades and they're from where you're from. Mm-hmm. And they both of their lives pan out completely different based on the color of their skin. Okay. And then I won't tell you anything else because it'll be too much. But it's also a love story.
Okay, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it and I'm going to let you know what I think about it.
I'm so nervous. I never recommend fiction. I'm really nervous. It's like the first time I've done that.
Okay.
I'm always like, read this nonfiction, very important book about your mind.
Same, absolute same. But I'm excited because I am ready to dive back into some fiction books. So I'm gonna let you know. I'm also easy to please. So I'm not gonna say, Chrisette, girl.
Oh no, I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you eating right now? What are you loving in the food world?
I've been wanting to go back raw vegan.
Really?
I miss it.
I did that for 4 days, and I just. Back in like 2017, though.
Mm-hmm. I did it for years, probably about 3.
Really?
It reset my body, my mind, my heart. I had an eating disorder. And I'll just be funny about this. A lot of times, people with eating disorders find extreme communities. And they, you know, become that kind of an eater. So for me, the eating disorder happened. I got through that, went to therapy for it. But then I fell in love with raw veganism to regulate my systems and my body and reset my circadian rhythm. Mm-hmm. And I miss it so much. So
you should do a lot of food.
I want to. Yeah, but I've been eating lemon pepper wings at the hotel.
Speaking of lemon pepper wings, I just had the best lemon pepper wet wings. I made them myself, but they were
wet.
Lemon pepper wet wings. They were so good. Okay, let me tell you what I did. And then I went home and I made them for my mama, and she was licking the plate. She gonna listen to this. She gonna be like, I was not licking the plate. Chris said she was licking the plate. So this is what I did.
I'm confused. Was it like a butter sauce? Like what?
Yes. So I did 2 different versions the first time I made it. It was a lemon pepper butter sauce, and it was a lemon pepper butter sauce that I added buffalo sauce to. I like the buffalo lemon pepper wet better. Oh, my mouth is watering because it's just that good. So literally I made my lemon pepper mix, fresh lemon, butter, and then your favorite hot sauce. I like to use Louisiana hot sauce or Crystal hot sauce because I'm from Louisiana. So good. Best sauce I've ever had. I toss it on naked wings because I like it better without the flour batter on the outside. So good. You can't go wrong. I can send you the recipe because I wrote it down because I built it from scratch. I'm a chef. I built it from scratch myself.
What part of Louisiana are you from?
I am from St. Francisville, Louisiana, which is right outside of Baton Rouge, right by Angola Prison.
Because no one, no offense to anybody else, no one cooks better than Louisiana chefs.
Okay.
Period. And I'm from New York.
You ain't said a lie. So okay.
I'm going to be in trouble for that. So I wouldn't dare take your recipe and try and make it. I would have to come over because no way.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
we can arrange that. Was so good. So I would say that's what, since you brought up lemon pepper wings, that's what I'm eating. Because sometimes lemon pepper wings be super salty. And I decided, I was like, I got to make my own because I don't like my food overly salty. When I made them wings, chef's kiss.
Took you out.
Mm-hmm. They took me out. I've made them 3 times in the last month. They're so good.
Sounds good. So yeah, lemon pepper wings. We're both eating lemon pepper wings.
Right? Okay, and what are you wanting?
God, everything. Jesus Christ.
Right. Talk about it.
So right now I'm wanting to go home so I can work on my merch line. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm wanting. I want to go home so I can print my merch and start sharing with everybody.
Oh, I love that.
I'm going to go home for a second.
Yeah, just a second. That's it. Yeah, you've been all over. Mm-hmm. Your merch, how far along in the process are you? Are you like almost done or at the beginning? Where are you?
Yeah, so we're almost done. My favorite thing about living in LA or having a hub in LA is the garment district.
Yep.
Being able to touch the fabrics, being able to play in all the colors. You can get stuff dyed, whatever you want to get it dyed. So we have the designs. Now I just want to go touch everything. Mm-hmm. I have my t-shirt guy. I have my everything guys. My printers, but I just want to make sure I look at it, make sure it's the exact right color, totally on brand for Comeback Sis.
Yes.
And I'm going to print it and touch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that. And that's what that's my plan for like my next set, my next round of merch, because I just did the print on demand with this, which is cool. But since then, so I had a birthday party and I got graphic tees made for my guests. I'm so extra. But I went to the garment district and I touched all of the shirts. I said, it has to be the perfect shirt. So I found this one place called like Tees Tees. They have these distressed.
No, you're lying.
I know how hard you look for it. Like, you look everywhere. And then there's the hat spot right next to it. You look everywhere. And Tees, I know their mother. Yes. I know the sons. I know the whole family.
Yes.
I know the general account.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's very crazy. They're okay. That speaks to their quality right there. Family, their quality is business. On. Yes, yes. So I got some of their distressed oversized tees, and everyone who got one at my party is just like, this is my favorite shirt. I wear this shirt all the time. So I'm going to go back to them and they're going to be taking all my money because their quality.
We have to send them this clip.
Right.
Their mom, I printed up like one of my bags and we did the puff print. Mm-hmm. And she loved it so much. She said, I'm going to take one. Is that okay? Can you sign it for me? And I was like, sure, girl, go ahead and take the bag.
I love that. Oh yes, we have to cut this clip out. I'll have my editor cut this out for them. But yes, Tees is where it's at, and I cannot wait to go back. I was actually thinking that the other day. I was like, I have to make a run downtown because I just have to go buy some more shirts. Oh my gosh. Well, this was so fun. I had such a great time.
The very same. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So just to let everybody know, when can they listen to the podcast and where should they go?
You can listen to the podcast today. You can go to comebacksis.com. Get on the newsletter so I can come hang out with you and show you all the new merch we're coming out with. But listen to that first episode today. You're going to have so much fun hearing the story of Real Talk Kim, how she got through it, and how you can get through yours too.
I'm excited. I'm ready to hear what she got to say, because when you said she was going to hell on a slip and slide, I know she's a good time.
I say, Kim, there's not a slip and slide.
Is she from the South? That sounds like something that I would say, like a Southern, that's definitely something a Southern person would say.
She's the epitome of from the South.
I love that. I cannot wait to listen. I've had such an amazing time talking with you. And if you ever want to come back on the podcast, you are always welcome. This was so fun. I cannot, words cannot express how fun this was.
Thank you so much. I feel so full. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. That is all that I have for you today. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and rate us and leave us a review. I love reading through all of you guys' reviews, and follow us on all of our social media platforms at Affirmations for Black Girls. But on Twitter, we are AFBG_podcast. Once again, thank you, and I cannot wait to see you again next week. This is Affirmations for Black Girls. Oh,